Are you going to do the show intro?
No, I don't want to do the show intro.
Fine. We'll just roll.
We'll just roll. I'll splice and dice and...
It starts now.
It starts now. Hey, this is South Geek News. We're back. Happy holidays, motherfuckers. Happy New Year. We do apologize because we were going to have one on January 1, and you said, no, I'm tired.
I'm beat.
Yeah. And Tyler and I actually talked about just, you know, doing it with me and him.
I wouldn't be offended.
Well, he also was going to join us if you were going to do it, even if you wanted to do it remotely. And then whenever you were like, no, I'm beat. And I was like, you know what? I really don't want to do one either. It's the first of the year.
Yeah.
Let's just go chill the fuck out. And that's what I did. So anyway, we are back. And we will do our best to try to adhere to our every 2 week, maybe. So you stayed busy during after Christmas, huh?
Yeah, I didn't do 4 times my monthly revenue, but I did 3.5.
3.5?
Just in revenue.
Yeah. I mean, that's great as long as the expenses weren't you know, 3.
It was worth a month, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. It'd literally have to be 4 times for me to really want to be able to get out and do anything in December. But I'm a lazy sack of shit, so.
Well, that's about the only time I've did anything. I mean, I replaced a few machines through the year, but you know, I should have done firewall before December. I still got 3 more to do, and the check's been written. But
are they because the ones they're replacing are just outdated?
End of life.
End of life. Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't be pushing get them to spend $8,000 replacing firewalls.
Yeah,
licensing and everything.
Well, I mean, I've got a couple of Netgates, and I know they don't make the 2100 anymore. But I don't know if it's considered end of life. But I mean, that thing's only, it's been in maybe 4 years. There's no reason for me to replace something like that.
Yeah. I deployed a PZ400 in 2020. I think it's the last of those. I'm going to have to go tell them. You feel like you just bought it, but it's the same thing as the one I installed in late 2015.
Now, see, that one...
But it's the same model, and it's reaching end of support.
That I can see. You know, if you're talking about something you installed almost a decade ago...
Yeah.
That's different.
Still supported. Still updates for it.
Yeah.
But I think it's this spring, Gen 6 going up support.
I'm looking at what the 2100s... Okay, as of January 2025, the Netgate 2100 has not been designated as end of life. Netgate's product lifecycle policy indicates that hardware products typically reach EOL status 1 to 3 years after their end of sale date. Since the 2100 remains available. Okay, it's still available. I didn't realize that. In May of 2024, a Netgate administrator confirmed that there were no plans to discontinue the 2100 and it would continue to be supported for the foreseeable future. Okay, what about the SG? What about the SG1100? As of January 2025, it also has not been designated as end of life. Okay, that's cool. Because this thing, I don't know if you've ever seen one, it's literally that big.
I've just seen the image on the site.
Yeah, I mean, it'll fit in the palm of your hand. And you're like, I've got 2 of those deployed. And one of them is on a 500 by 500 fiber connection. The other one's on a 200 by 200, which I hope to get upgraded to 1 gig by 1 gig. And it'll still handle it because it's the one that's connected to the 2100 on the other side via WireGuard. And, you know, WireGuard is, for all practical purposes, the superior VPN right now because it's very lightweight, is very fast, and is very secure. And that's the reason why we've been using the shit out of it everywhere. I mean, it's between me and Tyler, which that's actually going to bring up something. Tyler, while he was here, replaced my firewall. Now, here's the story about a man named Jeb. No, what happened was he's been doing, since we've upgraded to the 1 gigabit here, we've been testing to see what the maximum throughput between the East Coast and the West Coast, specifically here and his apartment, over WireGuard, because he has 1 gigabit in his apartment. We have 1 gigabit here. So it's like, what's the maximum throughput that you can get? And so he was telling me about some of the testing that he had done and found that the limiter that he was running into, the limitation, was the processor in the firewall I was using. Now, keep in mind, the firewall I was using is one that I actually replaced at another customer's location, upgraded them a couple of years ago. And it's a Protecli, so it is a firewall appliance.
Yeah.
Four ports, all of that. But it's got a J19, well, that's it right there. It's got a J1900 Celeron CPU in the thing. He told me, he said, "Dad, the CPU is pegging out." And he said, "Most I can get is about 200 megabit." I'm like, okay. So we just started perusing Amazon. It's like, okay, what can we get? Because, you know, I've mentioned, you know, a former client, a former friend, actually still friend. Anyway, guy I used to work with, work for it anyhow, put in that firewall that had two and a half gig ports on it because he got the 2 gigabit service. So we started looking at those. It's like, okay, are we at a point now where it makes sense to maybe upgrade to that? So I was looking at the Protecli. It's like, well, those things are, you know, they approach $400. We started looking at the various processors and all, and somehow or another, he found this thing. Now, don't laugh. The brand is HKUXZR. So you know immediately.
Seems legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know immediately that it's just, it's a Chinese, probably a reference board. The BIOS is completely 100% unlocked. You know, features that aren't even supported on the board, but they're there, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked at it and was like, wait a minute. This thing has 4 Intel 2.5 gigabit Ethernet ports on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's fanless. It has an N5100 processor in it, which is a Celeron, but kicks the dog shit out of a J1900.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, we compared it, I think, to the processor he's got in his Protecli at his apartment, and this one is still better.
Mm-hmm.
So it came with 8 gigs of RAM and 128 gigs of storage. It was like $180, my price. But it wasn't going to be here until like end of January. And this was like, we were looking at this, I think, before Christmas, the weekend before Christmas. And I was like, well, I'll put it in my list. You know, whenever I get to that point, I'll see about buying it. Well, that sneaky son of a bitch, what he did is he looked at the one that comes with no RAM and no storage. And he was like, you know how the other one was going to take like a month or so to get here? I was like, yeah. He said, this one was readily available. So he bought it, he bought the memory, and he bought, I think he told me, he put 120 gig NVMe in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he went ahead and loaded it up with pfSense and everything. And I saw the package come in from Amazon, but I didn't know what it was. So one evening, we were sitting there, I think watching YouTube or something, and he had come down. And he said, hang on a second. He goes back upstairs. He comes back down. He goes, here, open it up. It's this firewall.
Nice.
And I was like, all right. And so he explains to me what he did. And, you know, he put the stuff in. And so the next day, you know, we copy the config. And of course, the ports are named differently. Right. So I go through and I do a find and replace and get all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it over here. Get it over. Got it copied up. Went in there. Turned off the old one. Plugged in the new one. Some bit just came up and worked. And got the WireGuard tunnels. Because I had to reinstall the WireGuard package. But as soon as I did, the configs were there. All the tunnels I had just came right up and started working.
Hmm.
And then he started doing speed test transfers again between his apartment and mine, my house here. And I believe he told me he ran into an anomaly that had nothing to do with the firewalls. But when he would hit about 450 megabit of transfer, firewall just sitting there going, you're sending something through here? And, but somewhere there's a router that once you got about 450 megabit, some router between here and there would just die. It would just, the traffic would just stop.
Oh, wow.
And he said he could stop it because he was doing, I think he was doing tests with iPerf and he could,
right.
He could dial it in. Mm-hmm. He said he could come back down to 400 and it would start right back up. And I believe, I'm trying to remember, I think that was transferring from his location to here. But if we did it the reverse, it didn't die. We run, I have a VPS down at High Velocity in Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
No, Tampa. And I said, have you tried testing on it to you and it to me? And he's like, he did that. And he's like, no problems. Either way, no problems. But
So you reckon the route's closer to here than there?
Whatever it is, it's weird. It's like one direction, it's fine. The next direction, it just dies at about 450. And then he says, when I stop it and I start it back at a lower bandwidth, then it just keeps kicking ass. But I was like, oh, okay. So I don't know how much all the other stuff costs, but the firewall is like $150.
Yeah.
And then whatever, he said the memory is like, was nothing. And then the NVMe was like $20 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So he might have put about $180 in it, $200 at most. And this is probably the most kick-ass firewall I've ever seen in my life.
That may be the one that I have. I think mine's, I don't know, I've seen so many.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the J series, but it's four ports. Don't think they're 2.5 gig.
Yeah, well, the J1900s are no longer and probably haven't been good CPUs for firewalls. So if you have a J1900 and a firewall, it's probably time to replace the firewall. But these N5100s, we're finding really good success with the N line of these processors. Because, like, I think that PC that's behind that monitor right there is like an N5101 or a 5100. That little Mealy unit is an N5101, I believe, or 5100. And, I mean, yeah, that thing on the wall, that's a computer.
Yeah.
So, and it's running a Plex server. And just said, and because of the integrated graphics, I was like, I need to test something with this. So I got two Plex servers. One's running in a VM is running in a container under Proxmox, but it can't utilize the graphics cards for doing any kind of transcoding. So I got that and I was like, let me just see what this thing will do. That thing will transcode 4K content on the graphics card with no problem. And I say graphics card, it's integrated Intel UHD graphics or whatever. So, and it was like $160, I think, that thing was.
And that was with the Windows license, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the shitty Windows 11 license, yes. If I'd have been smart, I would have actually activated it and then reloaded it with Windows 10, but I didn't think about it. Because Tyler's got something similar to that or one just like that. And it came with Windows 11. And he said he was a little underwhelmed about its performance and all. And he's like, okay, well, let me just test something. So he did the downgrade rights. Basically, once you activate these Windows 11 machines, you can wipe them, install 10, 10 activates. So he put 10 on there and he says, my God, it was like the difference between night and day. Windows 10 runs so much better on hardware than Windows 11 does. And I was like, I know. Windows 11, when you compare 10 and 11, 11 is a piece of crap. But it's the piece of crap. What's the saying? It's not the piece of crap that we want, but it's the piece of crap that we need.
Love the one you're with.
Mm-hmm. Always go home with the one that took you to the dance. But yeah, that's been about the only thing that's really happened. I got a new firewall. I got my hair did. What else with you?
Let's see. My son decided to save up money. He's trying to save up. He has tried to save up all year. Not for a new video card. He wanted a new CPU. He's like, how much do you think a new CPU is? I was like, I don't know. You can buy one for $20 or you can spend $900 on one, I'm sure.
We actually have a story about that kind of stuff.
So he found one. And when we built his machine, I mean, I bought him the parts.
Yeah.
So it was my money. He bought that new video card that he has last year.
You remember what it is?
I looked at it. I knew he was going to ask me that. So I looked at it. Because we've got an apartment right now.
And you forgot.
No, it's an RTX 4060 Ti with 8 gigs of RAM.
That's not bad. That's actually a pretty good card.
I was like, I was thinking, because everybody's talking right now about the difference between the 4060 and the 50.
Well, the
4070 or the 4070 and the 50.
The 5090. I think the 5070 and the 5090s just came out, or the 5090. So.
But somebody's saying that the 5090 is equivalent to the 4760.
Yeah.
And then somebody put up a chart showing it clearly not as powerful as the 4760.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't keep up with this shit.
That's the reason why I watch Linus Tech Tips.
But so I looked and damn, it's a decent card. I wonder what it would cost. I wonder what I could sell this for right now.
Did you look it up?
No. But he was telling me last night. He's like, yeah, the the 5090's out, and you know, so it's 559 with 4060 performance. And I was like, where are you coming up with these terms? Like, you're are you secretly hosting a YouTube channel on this? Because
hey,
it sounds like something a reviewer would say. But anyway, so the rest of it was my money. So he wanted the i7 12th generation or latest generation. And it turns out I think it's the 14th generation.
Yep.
Way too expensive. So yep. He chose the 12th. An i7 12th. Mm-hmm. And he's like, will this work? And I was like, in a new board. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was thinking, all right, buy the CPU, I put it in. I was like, that's not how this works.
What does he currently have?
i5 ninth generation.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
But so I was like, you gotta get a new board.
Yeah, I'm a little iffy on Intel because I shy away from Intel. I stick with Ryzen. But yeah, I can't keep, I'd have to definitely look that one up and go, did they, you know, is there a chipset change? Because that's basically it. Or,
it is a new chipset, but it's a new physical socket.
Is it? Okay, so they
did a socket. We're going from the 9th to the 12th.
I mean, that would make sense.
3 generations, yeah. I wouldn't expect it to be in the same socket.
Yeah, that's true.
I was like, yep, it's going to be a different socket. So you're going to have to get a new board. And if you get a new board, likely the memory you have is not going to work in the new board.
So we're rebuilding the computer.
Just those 3 components.
That's the computer.
Yeah, but we've got the same case.
Yeah.
He did snag a power supply out of an old machine that I was taking apart. And I'm taking all the boards out to put them on the shelves and send the cases to landfill. But he snagged a 1,000-watt power supply.
Wow.
Yeah. To replace his 850. He doesn't fucking need it. He's got a CPU, a video card, and one SSD.
Yeah.
No optical. Well, it's pushing a water cooler instead of a fan. He got liquid cooling because it wouldn't fit in my case. I bought the thing for myself at the time we were building his, and it wouldn't fit in my case. I was pretty upset about it. So he got the liquid cooling, and I got the fan off of his processor.
You know, that's the thing. I have never cared or desired to have liquid cooling in my damn computer. Just never have cared about it. I will put the biggest honking damn fan that I can get on there, but I just don't care to have the liquid cooling because I've heard, and I know it's not normal, it's not common, mm-hmm. but I've heard too many horror stories of suddenly the damn thing starts leaking. And I'm like, no.
I think it only does that if you mistreat it or route the cable too tightly around the corner of the motherboard or some shit, of the hose.
Yeah.
But this thing's been solid. It's sealed. We didn't have to prep it or fill it up. We just take it out of the box. It's
okay. That's what, yeah, it's one of those.
The heat sink is permanently connected to
the
radiator. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
See, I might be okay with that.
Yeah. I wasn't going to do that nonsense.
Yeah. Well, you got to fill up the reservoir.
And you got to bleed it and make sure there's.
No, hell no.
But I thought I had seen in the past these external heat exchangers
mm-hmm.
where the hoses go out of this heat exchanger that's the size of one of those air filters that you have in the middle of the room.
So a chilling tower for your damn computer.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I've wanted just to say, all right, I've installed one of these things.
Yep,
I have the experience but
got the t-shirt.
Never did find that, but I did come across this. It's a Cooler Master brand
mm-hmm.
Liquid cooling. And it's only the CPU because I was thinking,
are
we got to route it, you know, to the CPU and then we got to get modules for the RAM sticks. And
I think I know which one you're talking about,
but it's my motivation for doing that particular thing was noise.
I mean, that's fair.
2 quiet fans running. That's it.
Yeah. You know what I do to mitigate noise in computers? I buy Apple because
you're rich.
Says the guy that made, 3.5 times?
No,
I'm just in
we
debt.
We exchanged that much money. We didn't all keep that much money.
I hear you. I'm just in debt. I use credit cards very efficiently. Let's put it that way. Yeah,
I just put a new recliner on credit card.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. It's a $350 model from Amazon.
Oh, okay.
But it's fully powered. Well, it even tilts up so I can get my old ass out of it.
Well, I've actually looked at some stuff like that. I mean, most of the furniture that we've been buying over the last several, our bed frames and our mattresses both come from Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
the sofa that's in our bedroom, because our bedroom is essentially like an ensuite for us. I mean, we live in it. Our TV's in there and all of that. Because what used to be the living room is now the museum, because that's where all of the her sewing machines, you know, 100-year-old sewing machines and stuff. But the sofa I bought Amazon. I mean, you can tell the damn thing is not, you know, $3,000 sofa.
But it'll hold your ass up off the floor.
It'll hold my ass up. And if I have to replace it in another 3 or 4 years, I've got my money's worth out of it. Because I sit in a particular section.
Yeah.
I rest my arm in a particular place.
And it shows now?
And it shows now. And I think we've had that thing maybe 3 years at most. Mm.
Well, you know you're not buying quality.
Oh, hell no.
But when you want to buy, quote, quality, you've got to spend 8 to 12 times what it costs to produce. I don't care if it's made in the United States. If that couch is 12 grand,
yeah.
No.
I mean, that's
unless
like...
Unless it has some kind of historical value or Jay Leno signed it or some shit, it's not worth 12 grand to me.
That's like whenever we got our double wide in 95, of course, you know, we were moving out an old block house that had space heaters and...
Yeah.
And I mean, it was what I grew up in. So we bought this almost 2,000 square foot double wide, and I decided, okay, I needed to do something nice for my wife. So I went and I bought a dining room set, you know, the table, nice round table that had the leaf in it that could extend it out, and two captain's chairs and then four other chairs. So I spent $750 on that in 1995. Can you imagine how much that damn thing would cost today? I mean, I can look it up, but you can't find that kind. And it was a quality build, you know?
Yeah. I was looking at a Lazy Boy recliner.
Mm-hmm.
The one I wanted was, it was one of their sales, 50% off.
Mm-hmm.
Every store-wide, half off. The price with 50% off was $1,200. And I thought... So is that just one chair? I mean, regular price, and they'll probably never advertise the regular price that's there. I mean, that's just a psych game.
Yeah. But
half of the bullshit price is still twice what I want to pay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It reminds me, there's this meme that I shared in our family channel the other day on Signal. And if I can find it, I'll send it to you. But it's like, it's a picture, you know, it's a drone picture of the dude and it's looking at a Steam game and it's like $29.99. Mm-hmm. It's like, then it's the same dude, but he's looking at the Steam game and it's changed to where it was $49.99 with it struck out on sale for $29.99.
Yeah.
And it's like this one neuron fired in his brain, like, yes, I must get that.
There's a lot of memes around Black Friday. Like that.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, I did look it up. The ninth generation was Coffee Lake, and it used the LGA 1151 socket. The 12th is the Alder Lake, and it uses
1700?
The LGA 1700. Yeah.
So we got the board installed, and then turns out that board, it's an Asus, one of the primes.
Mm-hmm.
Requires 12 pins for CPU power. And the cable, the modular cable we have has, you know, the two plugs, which was 8 pins.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the second CPU power cable.
Oh, no.
So
that power supply doesn't support it.
It does, but we took it out of a machine that didn't require it. And I'm assuming that machine came out of...
And it was, you said it was modular?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That machine came out of Tallahassee. So it may actually be in a box on a shelf in Tallahassee. But because I don't have any immediate plans,
mm-hmm.
and he's waiting on this, we just ordered a new set.
Yeah, you got to be careful when it comes to, and I know you know this, but when it comes to modular, you got to buy the actual modular cables that go for that one because they pin them out differently, apparently.
We took the CPU power cable from the other one, and I looked at it, and I was like, those are not the same.
Yeah. You want to ruin your day.
So then I asked ChatGPT. It's like, yeah, they're not all the same.
Yeah.
But this one fits the P-Series EVGA. I was like, oh. And I have a link to Amazon. And, whoop, there we go.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I paid $70 for that set. of cables, a whole set of cables.
Yeah. Just for that one.
But we're keeping all the rest of them.
I don't, every modular power supply that I've ever gotten, I think I still have all the cables mm-hmm. in, because you usually have this bag that you can put them all in.
Right.
And, you know, with a tie string. I think I've got like two or three of them in the drawer over there.
I may have some upstairs.
Yeah.
Because, but it when, won't I, be when the I took same them out of a client's place, well, it could still be an EVGA yeah, P-Series.
That's true.
I use Cooler Master. So the Cooler Master, they're not pinned. Even if it had, even if it did look exactly the same, I was going to take a multimeter and
oh, yeah.
test the pin out and make sure it's all the same. Because,
like I said, that'd ruin your day.
That would ruin his day.
Ruin his day. Plug yeah. it in, plug it in. Dunk. What? What is that smell? What popped?
But it's interesting to find that my kid last year picked out a card,
mm-hmm.
bought it, and turns out it's one of the more popular cards.
Yeah, I just, which I think I just closed it, but that
with right plenty of RAM.
Right now, that 8 gig 4060 Ti you can get for $404 on Amazon.
I wonder what I know I can find the receipt.
That, yeah. Now they make a 16 gig model that's only like $30 more.
Huh. I saw the 50 series with 12 gigs of RAM. They're $1,000.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, man. I mean, it's trying to get this thing. Come on, open up the last. Okay, never mind. I closed the tab and I wanted it. But anyway. Yeah. Is he not into computers like we are?
Nope.
Okay. So that would be
my goal for him, just to live a full cooperative life.
Mm-hmm.
He will not leave my house without knowing at least 50% of TCP/IP. If he doesn't know how to tell bullshit
yeah.
from real on a sitcom or a prime drama show,
mm-hmm.
when he hacked my IP address, I don't want him to believe in that shit.
Yeah.
I want him to go, that's not right.
The IP address was 303.2.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Those are great.
Those are fantastic. Actually saw what we were talking about this. Actually saw one. I don't know which show it was, but I was like, wait a minute. They actually used a private IP address, 192.168.something.something. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I don't understand why they don't do that, because you can't do shit with those. Yeah. It's not like, but they use it. It's 303.657.219. Hey. And I'm like, yeah. Okay, go for it. Try that.
I'll accept that as drama. But
NCIS is the worst, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Hey, I don't blame you. I'm fortunate enough that two of my kids are tech savvy, and my other is tech savvy light, but she's nowhere near and basically is like, I just want stuff to work, and I don't care how it works other than I can fix little things. I can turn it off. I can turn it back on. But you know, when graphics drivers go nuts and shit like that, mm-hmm. She talks to Tyler. She doesn't even bother me. She'll hit him up on Signal and say, hey, and you know, he'll like remote in or whatever, and he'll fix the shit for her. And I'm like, okay, that takes the pressure off of me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, how about we do a show? I mean, we're already doing a show.
Well, I know. I figured we'd try to make the pre-show a little bit more interesting.
I like it. I like it. I like it lots. Yeah, all the new TV shows I've started, because I have an Apple TV, mm-hmm. and I do use the Apple TV service, and it's set up. I don't know if you've done this or not, or you've probably seen it, but certain you can go in and connect, like, hey, my Paramount, and I don't even think you have to connect the accounts. It just knows. It's like, hey, when you go to launch this, do you want us to track? And I'm like, yeah. So it tracks the shows that I watch.
Yeah.
So before you got here, my watch was going off going, hey, there's a new episode of this. Hey, there's a new episode of this. Hey, there's a new episode of this. Hey, season 3 of this is starting tonight. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Okay, calm the fuck down. I will get there. Still have other stuff I need to catch up on. But, hey.
Yeah, the next few weeks is going to be catch up for me, because I have just canceled Netflix.
Mm.
I'll have Netflix till the 15th of this month. I just shut off Fubo TV. Days after paying the bill, so I got till the first to watch any of that. And I have shut off Apple One.
Really?
I kept iCloud storage.
Yeah. I mean, I just have
upgraded that.
Yeah.
Because I discovered that unlike, I didn't look at the Mac. I don't even know if it's possible with that anymore. I used to be able to back up my Mac to a Time Machine compatible volume on the QNAP or a Time Machine device mm-hmm. itself.
You can.
Do they still make those?
The Time Machine module? I don't think so.
Anyway, I figured I can just create a Time Machine thing on the mm-hmm. QNAP and tell my iPhone to back up there and fuck iCloud. But that's not an option.
I mean, I pay $2.99 a month for iCloud.
We were paying for 200 gigs, but it's not enough room because we upgraded the phones. We got 128 gig phones now or 256. I don't know. Huge storage.
And the other
two iPhones, you know, the kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you're a family of iPhones. I'm a family of one when it comes to iPhones. So okay. I'm the only one backing up to the cloud.
Yeah, that would make sense. But we needed more than the 200 gigs. So I went I think it's 2 terabytes for $10 a month.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
That sounds right. Which when I saw that, I was like, damn, that's cheap.
And the kids got Apple gift cards. So they didn't want them. So we bought them from them, added to the account. And that's going to cover 10 months of
that's cool.
the iCloud storage.
That's cool. It's funny that you say that you're canceling Fubo because we actually have an article to talk about in dealing with Fubo and Disney. Because, you know, Disney was trying to launch their Venue service.
No.
You don't remember that? Okay. It basically was going to be a direct competitor of Fubo. We'll get into it.
Well, wouldn't that be also in direct competition with DirecTV Now and YouTube TV? Or is it something different that Fubo is unique about?
It's the sports stuff. Venue was specific. As far as I can remember, Venue was specifically sports. Okay. So that's the reason why. We're going to start off with Blu-ray players. You have a Blu-ray player?
I do.
An actual independent, not one in a computer, but
independent.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't have one. Have never owned one.
Well, the movies that I buy in physical copies, and there's no DVDs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You can pretty much only Blu-ray.
There are no Blu-rays anymore.
Really?
Yeah. Best Buy quit selling them.
I don't buy anything from Best Buy.
I know, but it's just like it was a precursor to, hey, all this physical media is going away.
Yeah.
So there's an article over at Tom's Hardware. LG has ceased production of its Blu-ray players, including the UBK-80 and UBK-90 models, which that means nothing to me, signaling the end of an era for physical media enthusiasts. With limited inventory remaining, consumers are urged to act quickly to secure the last units. LG follows Samsung and Sony in exiting the Blu-ray market, leaving Panasonic as one of the few manufacturers still supporting the format. LG's latest Blu-ray players were last updated in 2018, reflecting the industry's declining interest in physical media amid the rise of digital streaming. The shift aligns with broader consumer trends favoring digital media for its convenience, as seen with Best Buy's exit of Blu-ray and DVD sales. However, this trend raises concerns about digital ownership, where purchased content can be revoked, as highlighted by cases like Sony's temporary removal of Discovery content and Ubisoft's delisting The Crew from Steam. Physical media, by contrast, ensures true ownership and offline accessibility, offering a safeguard against the limitations of digital platforms. While LG's exit is unlikely to impact the general public significantly, it does mark a significant loss for physical media advocates. So here's how I fix that problem of making sure that if there's a movie or something that I've purchased and suddenly the digital rights or the licenses are revoked through, let's say, Amazon or Disney or whatever. And it's like, yeah, we realize that you spent $20 on this movie, but that was 2 years ago and you can no longer watch it.
Yeah.
Donovan goes to Sweden and gets a copy of it. Sweden being, well, we all know what Sweden means.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just cost a lot of money to get to Sweden.
Yeah, I know. Just fly to Sweden. But I get a copy that is going to be stored locally that is viewable via my Plex server. That's how I solve that problem. Now, granted, I still have to contend with bit rot and all of that because at some point, you know, years from now, you know, it's going to get moved from drive to drive to drive because it sits on the Synology right now. But
Put a copy on tape.
Put it. I'm going back to VHS, man.
No, it's just like a data storage tape. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even, I don't have a
the archival for those I've read.
Yeah.
I've never used one, but the archival is fantastic.
Yeah. We, one of my clients had two tape backups for their rack full of equipment that got replaced by basically VPN services. All the services that they were, they paid all this money, got all that rack of equipment. We used it for about 2 years. And then the company said, you know what? You could save a lot of money if you switch your insurance to Geico. No, they said, you could save a lot of money if you just let us host it for you and you use the VPN. We don't know why you spent all this money previously. And it's like, because you assholes told us to. That's why. But they had tape backups. We used them at the city, but that's been my experience.
Yeah, I used to have to go change tapes when I worked at the bank, but that was it.
I mean, not having a Blu-ray player now, no big deal to me. I think my wife one time, not realizing that this was the early days of when Blu-ray was finally starting to get entrenched.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a copy of a movie from Walmart and she brought it home for me. And it was a nice surprise, but I told her, I said, sweetie, this is a Blu-ray. I can't play it. And so she took it back and I don't think the DVD was available or something. And this was years ago. And I was like, well, I can either go spend the money for a Blu-ray player. At the time, they were not cheap. They were still $400 at the time. Or just take it back. She's like, I'll take it back.
It's funny when DVD players were out, you know, before the $30 Walmart tramplings.
Yeah.
But, God, it was, had to be 2000 or 2001.
Mm.
First couple of years of marriage, that's all I remember. I bought my brother a DVD player, and I didn't have one.
You, what a loving brother you are.
We finally got one like later that year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was $150 at that time.
Yeah. Hell, I remember my first CD player and my very first CD that I got with the player. My parents got it for me for Christmas. Mm-hmm. I think it was 1986 or 87, somewhere in there.
Yeah. I think I got my first one in about 88.
And it was a Stevie Wonder CD, whichever one he had out at the time. But yeah, I remember that. And I was like, oh man, this is cool. And then the way CDs did. And it was like back then, I don't know if people will remember, but the first compact discs that you got were not digital in the fact that the master that was used to create it was not a digital master. They actually had these logos on them. And I forget what they were. I want to say something's like ADD or AAD, and then there was like triple D or something. Not diners and drive-ins, but and what that meant was they had analog masters and then they did a digital conversion to put them on the disc. Years later, you started getting the CDs that were true digital all the way. The masters were digital. Mm-hmm. And they didn't, all they had to do was just, you know, pit it onto the CD and there you go. And I thought that was always cool because it was like, I basically have an analog recording on a digital format here.
Yeah.
And then over here, you know, 4 or 5 years later, it's like, I got true digital right here. Sound wise, I couldn't fucking tell, you know.
My ears aren't that special.
Mine certainly aren't now. I can't hear the hearing in my left ear is diminished by about 20%. And I know this because I had them tested before I left CPI in 2015. We had to do, I think it was every 2 years. Anyway, and I'd already noticed that I was having trouble hearing out of my left ear. So yeah, that's the joke with my wife. I was like, I didn't hear you. She goes, well, I was on your left side. I was like, yeah, you asshole. All right. Well, talking about relics. I'm going to probably just throw up all over the pronunciation of this, but Hilligoss, it's Hilligoss Bakery in Brownsburg, Indiana, continued to operate with Commodore 64 computers released in 1982 as its cash registers. This retro tech choice has drawn attention online, boosting curiosity-driven visits to the bakery, which is highly rated for its pastries with average ratings of 4.7 stars on Google and 4.5 stars on Facebook. this is what's funny to me. It was like curiosity-driven visits to the bakery. We don't care about your pastries. We want to see the Commodore 64s.
Yeah, I'll buy a donut, but I want to watch this process.
Yeah. It says the bakery adopted the Commodore 64s roughly 8 years after opening in 1974, and they've remained in use thanks to their reliability for basic point-of-sale transactions. Known as one of the best-selling computer models in history, the Commodore 64 is well-suited for simple tasks, avoiding unnecessary upgrades and e-waste. Yeah, you can upgrade them. The bakery's quirky use of bread bin C64 models aligns with its practical and nostalgic appeal, blending old-school tech with high-quality baked goods for a win-win in functionality and customer interest. I came for the Commodore 64. I got the bagels. Anyway, I loved Commodore 64s, and then I had a Commodore 128. So before I ever got into the whole PC thing.
I got a Commodore 64 off of eBay probably 10 years ago, just to say I have one, because I never had one.
That's right. You still have it, don't you?
Yeah.
And it still works.
It's got some poor bastard's social security number engraved into the bottom. I was like, he's probably in the military.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Don't do a lookup.
But yeah, it still works. Last I hooked it up, which was like 3 days after I got it, and never again.
I still have it ingrained in my brain. You put the floppy in the drive because it was a Commodore 1541, I think, was the model.
I have that.
You put the game or whatever, the software, put it in there, and then you type load space, double quote, star or asterisk, double quote, comma 8, comma 1, enter. And that loaded and ran the program on the disk. I have that just etched in my brain. So, because I think you could do it. You could load it like with the comma 8, but it wouldn't run. But you had it. So the whole process was the comma 8, comma 1. And the star just meant, hey, whatever's on this thing, started it, the bootloader or whatever, just load that bastard up and run. So that's how I'd load up, video games and stuff on it.
I'm going to have to put that on my list of places to go and see how close they are to Route 66.
Indiana. You ever been to Indiana?
Crossed into Indiana on a trip to Kentucky because I thought we were close. Mm-hmm. We might as well say we went to Indiana. So we went, got off the interstate, turned around and came back. No, I'm sorry. We stopped at a Walgreens in Indiana. So I probably don't have the receipt.
But yeah.
Yeah.
We came, we saw, we got the t-shirt, we moved on.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to building gaming PCs. This is an article over at Tech Radar. It says building a gaming PC has become increasingly expensive with the cost of components like GPUs, CPUs, motherboards, and accessories rising dramatically over the years. And while inflation accounts for some of the price hike, stagnant wages, luxurious design trends, and the influence of social media showcasing extravagant builds have pushed gaming PCs out of reach for many. That right there, I love them to death, but I point directly at Linus Tech Tips for that kind of stuff because of the fact that they are constantly like, look at this $5,000. They built a $100,000 computer one time.
In one box?
One table.
Oh.
But yeah, and it's like, okay.
That's kind of shit you can do when you have sponsors.
I know, because they didn't buy any of that shit. Yeah. It was all sponsored. It was given. I mean, it's like all his storage servers and stuff that he's got in his house. I was talking to Tyler about that. I was like, he's got like one of the coolest houses. And I mean, his gaming room, they don't actually have the computers in the gaming room. Mm-hmm. The computers are rack mounted computers in the basement. And they use these fiber converter modules that converts like all the input outputs of like the video and the keyboard and the mouse and all to come up to the monitors and the keyboard and the mouse in the gaming room. And, Tyler's like, well, yeah, he can write all that stuff off as content because they record all that all the time. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. So
gonna have to start on that room in there.
I know, right? Well, maybe one. GPUs, once relatively affordable, now come with a steep price tags. AKA, that's the reason why I stick with Ryzen, because their price per performance is better than Intel. And not every time they come out with a new chip, do they shit can the damn socket?
Yeah.
I mean, they've done that. They have, like, the one I've got here is the 5000 series. When they went to the 7000 series, they did change the socket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you can still buy one of the most popular CPUs on the planet. And we looked it up. You still can't. They stay out of stock. Is, I forget the model number, but it's one of these Ryzen 5000 series CPUs for gaming. It's one of the something something 3Ds or whatever.
Hmm.
But yeah, Intel's Arc B580 GPU offers a glimmer of hope by providing strong 1440p gaming performance at a lower price, challenging NVIDIA and AMD's dominance in the entry-level market. And that is true. Linus did a, I know I bring him up a lot, but he and Marquez are the ones that I watch the most when it comes to this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When the Arc 580 came out, they benchmarked it and was pleasantly surprised for a $250 graphics card how well it performed as compared to the other entry-level cards from NVIDIA and AMD. And this is really the first one Intel's ever kind of struck gold on. They had its predecessor, the A-something, didn't do as well. So apparently they went back to the drawing board and figured out some shit, and then also the drivers are better too. But it goes on to say, however, with broader changes in the industry or without broader changes in the industry or economic conditions, the growing exclusivity of PC gaming is likely to continue, exacerbated by potential trade tariffs and stagnant income growth. So, yeah.
It used to be that the latest card was $500.
Yeah.
That's it. If you want the best, you're going to spend $500. Now it's nuts.
I won't go over three. If I can't get what I need for $300 or less in a graphics card, then apparently I don't need to be doing what it is that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know,
I bought mine solely for the four monitor support. Yeah. That's it. I didn't care what chip it was.
Yeah. When I built this one and I built my wife's back there, I went for, I did have an AMD card. I knew I had to buy her something for that one. So I just bought the same one. I think it's a 6500 XT. It was like right at $280
mm-hmm.
Each. And it plays everything I throw at it. And I mean, granted, I only play WoW like once in a blue moon.
Mm.
And anything else. I mean, I don't even do video editing on this machine. I do all my video editing on the far superior video editor, the Mac Mini back there. With the M2 Pro, I'm trying to stop myself from getting a damn M4 Mac Mini. And I'm like, because part of me is like, I want that. The other part is like, what are you going to do with it? You don't need it. But the other part's like, but.
Yeah, I mean, you could always just keep talking yourself down for another year. And then spring for half price of what it is now.
Maybe. Apple doesn't really do that, but maybe.
Well, every time a new iPhone hits the shelves, the previous model drops $100.
Well, that's true. They started playing this commercial during the holidays, and I thought that somebody had screwed up and put in old commercials. But you know how you got these offshoot of these other carriers? I forget what they call. There's a acronym for them, but like, Metro PCS or Metro or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's this commercial where they're acting like it's a reality TV show. And it's like they're matching iPhone 12s and Apple Watch SE. And I'm like, for like $200 or $300 or something like that. And I'm like, is this just old stock? Did somebody fuck up? And I looked it up and went, no, this is a actual thing that this company, I think it's Metro, is pairing an iPhone 12 or 12 Pro with an Apple Watch SE for a very affordable price. And I'm like, but the 12, that's a 2019 phone. But yeah, apparently people don't care.
When you trade it in, that's where it probably goes.
I was like, really?
Hmm.
You know? And that's one thing I didn't look is to see, were these refurbs? You know, are they still brand? I mean, did they have enough stock? Because this was new to Metro. So
I don't know. There's probably really small text at the bottom of the commercial that says where it came from. But then Foxconn's not retooling to remake the 12.
No. And I wouldn't think that there'd be that much stock available.
No, I think they're certified refurb.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Because I sold my 11 back to Verizon when I got this thing.
Yeah. I sold. I
think they gave me an $800 credit.
I sold my 13 back to Apple when I got my 16.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me 400, I think. Cell phone companies will give you more.
Yeah.
Because they want to keep you with them. Apple's like, well, we don't really care who you get the service with.
Yeah.
We
know what it's worth.
We know what it's worth. So yeah, that's like I said before, that's my new methodology is I buy the phone straight out. If I can afford not to do it, I never will be on a equipment payout over 24 months with a cell phone carrier. I just don't, because I don't want to go back to Verizon. That's I want to stick with Visible.
You're still with Verizon?
I am. But I'm only paying $25 a month for the same fucking service that I had with Verizon that I was paying $90 per phone.
I get it.
So,
get it. I'm not paying $90 a phone, but.
Well, Devin is paying like $85 and he's the only one left on the account. Hmm. Now, granted, what it was is as you add one, they would start reducing the cost.
Yeah, because we got four and mine's just over 200.
Yeah. Well, I had six at one time. Then I dropped one because I had a spare.
Yeah.
And then I dropped down to five and we were still paying almost $400.
Hmm.
You know, and I was like, this is ridiculous. So that's the reason why I made all the changes I did in 2023 and 2024. I was like, no, daddy ain't paying that kind of money no more. This is ridiculous. I know what it takes to run these damn things. All right. So talking about shitty software, Microsoft has issued a warning to users regarding a significant issue affecting Windows 11 version 24H2 installations. The problem arises when the operating system is installed using media like the USB drive or the CDs, really? They include the October or November 2024 security updates. When's the last time you installed an operating system off of a CD?
That'd be hard to say.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. So this method can leave PCs in a state where they can no longer receive security updates. However, installations done through Windows Update are unaffected. The issue has sparked frustration among users, with some also reporting persistent Wi-Fi connectivity problems linked to DHCP conflicts in the 24H2 update. Microsoft recommends reinstalling the OS using freshly created media or utilizing the December 2024 security update to prevent further complications. These challenges, along with continued resistance from users to upgrade from Windows 10, highlight the difficulties Microsoft faces as Windows 10 approaches its end of support date in 2025, which is October, right? I believe it is.
October 25, yeah.
Yep. A permanent fix is in development, but the situation has fueled ongoing concerns about Windows 11's reliability. I can tell you, being in the GOG Discord, the number of people that just shit all over Windows, and they're like, you know, Windows 11 just is just dog crap. And they're like, one guy was like, I'm in a test group at where he works for Windows 11. That's how far behind they are in getting. And I guess, you know, think about it. You got some software, you got to make sure it's going to work.
Yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, I hate it. He said, that's the reason why everything at my house is Linux. And I'm like, yeah, 2025, the year of the Linux desktop.
Yeah. The same way it's been since, 2012?
I have Windows 11. I think I've said this before. I have it on that machine behind me, and I have it on a laptop. And now it's on that little PC over there. This one I reloaded with 10 because when I was running the radio station, I got it with 11. I installed the Radio DJ software, and the Radio DJ software, something about the way it interacted with the database engine, it couldn't read certain things out of the database engine. And I kept digging and digging and digging. I couldn't figure out what it was. I'm like, okay, let me just try something. So I blew it away, installed Windows 10, installed the exact version of Radio DJ, the exact version of the database software, imported the SQL file, flawless. There was something about Windows 11 that the database just said, nope, peace out, brother. So
probably a driver issue.
I'm trying to remember. It wasn't MySQL. It was the other one that's popular.
PostgreSQL or SQLite?
No. It's a replacement for MySQL, but...
MariaDB?
MariaDB, that's it. Yes, thank you. Yeah, that's the one that I always use because MySQL is usually just too bloated. So
whatever the damn package wants.
Yeah, whatever it wants. whatever it wants. Okay, let's 3D print some houses. Icon, a construction technology startup, is nearing the completion of the world's largest 3D printed neighborhood in Wolf Ranch, Georgetown, Texas. Project involves 100 homes constructed using Icon's massive, I love the name of this, Vulcan. The Vulcan printer, which builds homes layer by layer from a concrete mixture. This method is faster, more cost-effective, requires fewer workers, and reduces material waste compared to traditional construction. Now, this is what got me. I was like, hey, these are going to be more economical, right? The homes, which range in price from $450,000 to $600,000, that's not affordable to me.
That's not Section 8. No.
Feature resilient concrete walls resistant to water, mold, termites, and extreme weather. So they need these down in Florida. Buyers have praised the homes for their durability and insulation, though the thick walls can weaken wireless internet signals, a challenge addressed with mesh routers. I thought that was interesting. It was like, hey, we got a very sturdy house. It'll stand up to like hurricane force winds, flooding and all. You just can't get it's fucking Wi-Fi in here.
It's a fucking Faraday cage.
Yeah, it's a Faraday cage.
I wonder if it's steel enforced inside there in the layers.
How would they do that?
It's you print a layer and print several layers and then put lay the steel on top.
I mean,
and then print right on top of it.
I suppose so. Because normally the rebar in walls, the rebar is usually vertical.
Yeah.
So, but then again, you're doing it with blocks. So it can actually go down inside. So this is printing it like you would just print
it. It's the same as a
plastic printer.
Yeah, an extrusion printer. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I've seen videos of that. I don't know if it's the Vulcan machine, but I've seen videos of concrete being extruded and exactly as a 3D printer does.
Yeah. I think it's a cool concept.
It is really neat. But 100 houses?
100 homes, yeah.
Average 525?
Yeah. 500 in Texas.
How many? I'm not doing that calculation. That's 100 times $500,000.
I don't want to do that calculation either. ChatGPT.
That's going to pay for the machine.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So the project represents a milestone for 3D printing and residential construction. And With Icon looking toward future applications, including building structures on the moon, to the moon, through a partnership with NASA's Artemis program. Well, don't worry, that's going to get killed. Since its first 3D printed home in 2018, Icon continues to push the boundaries of sustainable and innovative construction. Yeah, I don't know what Artemis is going to do now. We got a new administration.
Well, they're just going to have to figure out how to put the thing on a Starship.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if anybody's going to the moon.
We're not going to build it on the moon. We're going to build it on Mars.
Oh, no, no. We're going to launch a base on the moon.
Oh yeah,
from which to go to Mars.
That's right. We've got to have a forward base on the moon.
That's it. Yeah.
So yeah, looking forward to it. Not really. I probably won't be alive.
You might. You know, as soon as we take over Mexico, we'll have a bunch of factories and we'll be back in business.
That's true. So we're gonna have that one. Really hasn't come up, but now we will get. We'll have Greenland, so we'll have all the rare earth metals.
I don't think we'll have Greenland.
Well, we're going to get the Panama Canal back so that we...
I've seen those in lists. So we're going to go get Canada or Mexico or Panama Canal and Greenland. What kind of... No. No, we're not building Trumpistan. We're just going to be here. But yeah, it could happen.
Mm. I suppose it could.
NASA might not have much to do with it.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'm not even sure what NASA does now because NASA doesn't send anything up. They just collect
Velcro royalties anymore.
Yes, so. All right, moving on. As scams and cybercrime grow increasingly sophisticated, experts recommend families create secret passphrases to verify each other's identities during emergencies. This measure is particularly crucial as scammers use AI to clone voice and create deepfake videos, enabling them to impersonate loved ones or business executives in distressing scenarios such as fake kidnapping or accidents. They've actually been doing some of these over the past couple of years where you'll get a phone call that sounds like a relative and says, hey, I'm in a bind. I need some money. I'm in jail, whatever. And it's not actually them. It was a cloned voice.
Yeah. I've heard those stories, and it was probably months ago I read this tip to create a password.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad idea.
Have y'all talked about it in your family? We haven't in ours. And
no. I mean, it's mainly for my parents.
Yeah. I don't have to worry about that.
Because if I called my wife and said, I've had an accident or I've been arrested and I need to send me Western Union, she'd go, where are you?
Yeah, where are you?
I'm just going to come get you. Yeah. I'm not saying, you know, that's bullshit. So, but it's more for our parents.
I thought you were going to tell me your wife would go, well, probably do you some good. I'll be there tomorrow.
Nah, she might go, the service processor will find you tomorrow. That's why I need to know where you are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody here about that either, but it's not a bad idea.
No, just fold it up, post-it note on the fridge.
Yeah.
So you don't forget it, but.
Yep.
If they get a weird call and it's my voice.
Yep. My passphrase is come squatch. whatever.
Well, now it's out there. It's you got to pick a new one.
I got to pick a new one. All right. You know, CES is going on right now, by the way.
Yep.
NVIDIA has announced Digits, a $3,000 personal AI supercomputer designed for home or office use. Ben has put in a pre-order for one of these, I'm pretty sure.
No, I have a plan.
Oh, you have a plan?
Yep.
What is this, Battlestar Galactica? Set to launch in May 2025, this compact desktop device is powered by the GB10 Grace Blackwell Superchip, featuring 128 gigs of unified memory and up to 4 terabytes of NVMe storage. Digits is capable of running large language models with up to 200 billion parameters, enabling researchers and hobbyists to experiment with advanced AI technologies without relying on cloud services. When I saw this, I immediately thought of you. I was like, this is something that Ben will seek, I'm sure. Additionally, NVIDIA plans to release software tools for building AI agents, aiming to integrate AI into business operations and enhance efficiency. I mean, that's got Ben Rayberg all over it right there. This initiative reflects NVIDIA's commitment to making AI more accessible and underscores its significant role in the AI industry. So what is your plan?
I'll find a sponsor.
Okay.
We need a sponsor.
We need a sponsor.
Yeah, that's how people get cool shit, you know?
You know how long it'll probably take us with this?
Maybe I'll have to sponsor the show.
That feels like a self-defeating prospect. I mean,
it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Okay.
No, you can easily, you just said Linus spent $100,000 on a desktop.
Yeah.
People pay $3,000 for a PC lately. I mean, the gamers.
True.
It's not difficult to squeeze $3,000 in a tower. So, but $3,000 price tag is not bad.
No, it's not. I'm making fun of it, but. Yeah. It's not. I mean, for what it's got a singular purpose, mm-hmm. which is interesting to me. So it's
singular purpose, that purpose being running AI training and.
But all local.
Possibly agents. But those agents, that automation can be for many purposes.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm excited about. When I first got the Echo devices in the house, I wish that I'd be able to carry a conversation instead of trigger it every time.
Yeah.
I was talking to my wife last night and I said, I'd like to get rid of those things because they're just hands-free light switches anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me what the temperature is outside. Mm-hmm. That's about it. All we use them for. We don't order anything off Amazon. I don't have it. We have it tied to smart things.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got, I think that's it. Had it tied to Apple Music, but not anymore.
I think the most I ever used mine for was tell jokes.
I asked, you know, early days, yeah, we'd do that. But lately, I don't care. Yeah. It's just a light switch anymore. Or maybe find a recipe.
Yeah.
But
I have two of the small ones sitting over there.
What I would like for it to do is be, because we've got them named for each room. It mm-hmm. supposedly knows what room it's in.
Right.
So if you hear my voice and you probably can tell I'm in the kitchen. if the kitchen one hears me. So why can't it just use that as context and maybe, hey, call upstairs and tell my daughter dinner's ready or something.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. If I say it's dark in here,
you wanted to turn the lights on.
I want to turn the lights on in that room I'm standing in. It should be that aware. On the other hand, I don't want Amazon knowing where I am in my house.
It's dark in here. So, I'm sorry, Ben. I cannot do that.
So with this Digits device, was it Project Digits? That keeps the AI, all the processing local and all the data local. That's what I'm looking for.
I've seen another, it's not in this article. I've seen a picture of it somewhere else earlier today. It looks like it's about
about the footprint of Apple's Mac Mini.
Mac Mini, yeah. Yeah, so it looks cool.
But at that price, you're going to wait forever to get one.
You think they're going to run out?
Yeah, I'm sure if they're taking pre-orders, they're full.
I don't know, are they?
I don't know, I haven't looked.
Yeah.
Because I don't really have.
Yeah, I understand.
3K. Just a hole in my pocket.
Just lying around for one, huh?
But if it's 3K for that, what, up to 4 terabytes? I haven't looked at the specs. Does it come with any storage? Do I have to add to that 3K to get storage?
Yeah, later this year, starting at 3,000.
Yeah.
So
you can probably find them on Amazon later for 6,000 or 7,000. Brand new. Yeah.
Exactly. We shall see. That's interesting. Well, continuing with AI, Amazon Web Services, also known as AWS, has announced plans to invest at least $11 billion to expand its cloud computing and artificial intelligence infrastructure in little old Georgia.
Not down here.
No, it'd be up in North Georgia. This investment aims to meet the growing demand for advanced cloud services and computing power driven by AI advancements. The expansion is expected to create at least 550 high-skilled jobs, including roles such as data center engineers, network specialists, engineering operations managers, and security specialists. Additionally, it will support thousands of local construction jobs and positions in the data center supply chain. Since 2010, Amazon has invested $18.5 billion in Georgia, which I had no idea, contributing $20.1 billion to the state's gross domestic product and supporting 34,000 full-time and part-time jobs, as well as 44,700 indirect jobs. This latest investment underscores Georgia's positions as a hub for cutting-edge digital innovation. AWS's data centers in Georgia are designed to efficiently run GPUs for traditional workloads or AI and machine learning models, supporting the future of AI from these facilities. The company has also made significant investments in renewable energy within the state, with 8 solar farms that, once fully operational, will generate enough carbon-free energy to power an estimated 123,000 U.S. homes each year. Which I found that section there kind of funny, and here's why. Knowing that the turncoat that Jeff Bezos has become, I'm surprised. Now, granted, he's not running Amazon anymore. I get that, but knowing, I'm trying to be nice, I really am, but every one of these assholes has capitulated and bent the knee to the tangerine toddler. So, and I know the last thing that the tangerine toddler wants is solar farms, windmills, anything other than oil. Drill, baby, drill, oil and gas. So for Amazon to actually continue to say, hey, we're going to build these solar farms so that we can power all of this AI stuff. Number one, I'm behind that 100% because, you know, we know that every time we do a query, you know, a couple of birds die.
Yeah, a rabbit falls over. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So I think this is the right move, but it would not surprise me if some of this got rolled back. It's like, well, how about we just use the third nuclear reactor that got fired up at Plant Vogtle, which, you know, Georgia Power is now having to charge extra to cover the cost. But
so if they're having to charge extra, that means they're not at capacity.
They went over budget by like $20 billion or something. So that's the reason why they raised the rates.
sounds like a government project.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I thought I was talking to somebody and I was like, it's funny to me that you have a power company that says, okay, we need cleaner, more efficient power supplies, a supply of power. That's nuclear.
Yep.
So we're going to build this. That should give us cheaper energy, cut your cost. It goes over budget. Oh, by the way, now we got to raise your rates by roughly, I forget what it was. It was like $10 for every 1,000 or 2,000. Don't quote me on this. And I'm like, how ridiculous is that? It's like, we want to build this thing so that we can provide cheaper and cleaner energy. And then they mismanage. They have to have mismanaged the funds for this thing.
Yep.
And then come back and say, well, we fucked up and you're going to have to pay. And what is the average person going to do? No, I'm not paying. Well, there goes your power.
Yeah.
You can't not pay.
You know why? I mean, it doesn't have to make any operational or moral sense, but do you know why?
Tell me.
Southern Company is a public company.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is true. That is true. Fortunately, I'm on call quit, but even the co-ops get affected by this kind of stuff because a lot of times they'll get some of their power from Georgia Power or some of the other big utility companies.
I don't know why there aren't more incentives to put solar on rooftops.
You know, when Jimmy Carter was president, he had solar panels put on the White House.
Yeah, I read that.
You know, Reagan took them off.
I think I read that too.
So that's all I have to say about that.
It's just silly. There's no explanation.
Mm-mm.
There's no excuse.
None whatsoever. Okay, finally, the Fubo story. Disney is set to merge its Hulu plus live TV service with competitor Fubo in a significant deal that will create a major player in the streaming multi-channel video provider, which is known as a vMVPD space, second only to YouTube TV in scale. Disney will control 70% of the combined company, while Fubo's current management will oversee operations under the Fubo brand. The deal is expected to finalize within the next 12 to 18 months. The merger will unite Hulu Plus Live TV's 4.6 million subscribers with Fubo's 1.6 million. Okay, that's 1.599999 because you left. creating a 6.2 million subscriber base to compete with YouTube TV's 8 million. Both Hulu Plus Live TV and Fubo will continue as distinct brands with Fubo negotiating carriage deals independently of Disney. So the key outcomes include a new distribution deal allowing Fubo to offer competitive content packages, especially around sports, resolution of Fubo's legal action against the Venu sports streaming service, potentially paving the way for its launch, Disney, Fox, and Warner Brothers Discovery paying Fubo $220 million, with Disney providing a $145 million term loan and a $130 million termination fee if the deal fails. The merger focuses solely on live TV streaming and excludes Hulu's core subscription video on demand service. And Fubo will maintain its sports first identity, while Hulu Plus Live TV will focus on a comprehensive entertainment bundle. Hmm. And see what you're going to be missing out on now that you've left.
You know what I miss out on anyway?
It was the NASCAR races, right?
Well, it was NASCAR races because they moved to CW and
yeah.
Well, it was the Xfinity series races.
Yeah.
What's funny is the Fubo would see the Xfinity series event and record it. I was like, oh, that maybe it was just 1 week they went to the CW.
Mm-hmm.
So I go and hit that recorded. It was a qualifying was on USA, but the race is on CW.
Wow.
And the Cup series is that's on Fox and NBC. They moved last year. Anyway, I didn't have C-SPAN.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have CNN. Not that I was craving CNN, but when I wanted to...
Bet you they have Fox.
Oh, yeah. They had Fox and Newsmax. They had MSNBC.
Mm.
They had some nice, cool stuff. Smithsonian Channel. I'm a big fan of air disasters.
I mean, who isn't, right? Except those that are in them.
Everybody's a fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only the fans are left.
That's true.
What else didn't they have? They don't have NASA TV, if that's even still a thing.
I don't know.
Because I remember when I had, I don't think I saw it on the IPTV stuff with Vista.
NASA TV, the former television service of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, was discontinued in August of 2024 and replaced by NASA Plus, a free streaming platform that offers live and original NASA programs.
I've seen an ad for that, NASA Plus.
Yep. So basically, hopefully they have an app that you could put on your Apple TV or whatever, and there you go. Because it's free.
Cool. It is boring as shit, but sometimes there's some good engineering stuff on there.
Yeah, it's free, like it's in beer.
Oh, we pay for it.
I don't buy it. I don't
pay taxes.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
Drop in the bucket, though.
Yeah, I was showing Tyler my my True Vista bill, and I was like, the internet's not bad. I said, but cable TV is fucking ridiculous. It's $145 for the cable. It's called the V Premium or something.
Yeah, I don't
know. And I'm like, for A, the True Vista app on my Apple TV that's in the courtroom, walk in the back door, crashes at least 2 times a day.
Yeah, it's terrible.
We still use a Fire Stick in the bedroom most of the time to watch True Vista stuff. But I use the Apple TV for everything else. YouTube, Amazon Prime Video, Hulu, Disney, whatever. So it probably will crash just as much on the Apple TV in there. I just don't know. So the app is trash. It is absolute garbage. And I'm like, I could go to YouTube TV for $83 a month. Almost half. Not quite half.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have any of the History Channel shit. And that's what I want. If they had that, I wouldn't have True Vista cable at all.
What do you watch on History Channel?
Ancient Aliens.
That's so funny because that's all I thought about.
William Shatner's the Unexplained. I mean, they've all come out. Dan Aykroyd's got his own thing now.
Wow.
Danny Trejo has launched a show.
He's hilarious.
The Unearthed or something like that. So yeah, all these old
he's
fuckers.
Got the voice for that kind of thing.
Yeah. All these old fuckers have got these shows, and it's a guilty pleasure because I don't believe in any of it.
Right.
I mean, I think I've said this on my personal podcast before. There's a special place in my heart for Ancient Aliens because the first year that I attempted sobriety from 2017 to 2018, I had to fill my Friday nights with something. And so what I wound up doing was watching a lot of Ancient Aliens on Friday nights because previously, I'd been drinking in front of a computer playing video games or watching porn or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So for that entire year, I got to where I was looking forward to watching Ancient Aliens on Friday nights. And so it's, even though a lot of it's fucking ridiculous and, you know, Giorgio's hair, I mean, come on. But I still enjoy it. It's like conspiracy theories. Some conspiracy theories are just fun. But you can't take them seriously. It's like, what if? But you know that it's just ridiculous.
You got to be there on Friday nights to watch it anyway.
Yeah.
And I would equate that to wrestling.
Wrestling?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know it's...
Mm-hmm.
This shit ain't real.
Yeah.
I mean, people get hurt because it's physical, but it did not really hit him over the back with that chair.
You remember what Sam said? I said, it ain't real. He's like... Neither are any of the shows you watch on TV.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's true. So I did the trial with YouTube TV for however long they let me do the trial. And it was for the channels that they do carry, and they do carry a lot. They carried everything else that we were after. We needed Ion because, well, we just did. They've got Charge. They've got Comet.
Mm-hmm.
Better quality versions of Charge and Comet than what's on True Vista. Every channel basically on the YouTube TV was superior quality. You know,
that would be expected from a technology company.
But they don't have any of the History Channel stuff at all. So I was like, God damn it. You know, it's like, can I give that up and save what, $50, $60, $70 a month? $70 a month? I might. I mean, YouTube TV did just go up $10. It was, whenever I was looking at it, it was like $72.99. Now it's $82.
When I signed up for Fubo, I was paying $64.99 a month. I just canceled the plan at $104.99.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And it was like one sports package. I never changed the package, but it went from $65 to $105 in the last year. And they still don't have C-SPAN.
I've got one client that she, I think last year sometime they finally got fiber at their house and True Vista. And I said, did you get their TV? And she said, no. She said, we're watching Pluto TV. It's one of the fast networks.
I've seen ads for that.
Yeah. I mean,
I never looked into it.
It's cool because what they do is they dedicate channels to particular genres or particular series of shows. Like there's a Doctor Who channel. You just watch Doctor Who, old Doctor Who. There's a Stargate channel where they play SG-1, Atlantis, and I just forgot the third one that only lasted one season. But then they've got all kinds of, they've got the Mystery Channel, they've got the Comedy Channel, and all this other kind of stuff. They'll pull off like some of the YouTubers that, like, I don't care about them anymore, but the Young Turks, because, you know, they've gone to the dark side now, but mm-hmm. they're on there, you know, and stuff like that. And it's all funded. It's what's old is new again.
Yeah.
It's all funded by advertising, just like you were pulling the shit out of the air. That's what it is. That's the reason they're called FAST. They're free advertiser supported television, I think is what the acronym stands for.
It makes sense. I was playing around with this, my Roku TV.
Yeah.
I don't know why I bought it, but I happened to have it connected to the network. I think I had to start an account or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just playing around with it. And I found myself just sitting in my office watching Adam's Family.
Yeah,
because this is great. This is perfect for me to watch right now.
Yeah. I think Roku's got that whole setup too. They're one of those fast companies. Yeah. List of free ad supported television. You trying to take out the microphone?
I was trying to move it slowly.
They don't really make that much noise.
I think your typing was noisier than me moving this microphone though.
So Pluto TV, Tubi.
Seen an ad for Tubi, yeah.
Roku channel, Amazon Freevee, which I think they're killing. Plex has it. Plus, I've also got a TV tuner connected into my network with an antenna up in my attic, so I can pull in the local channels.
I was going to add, I'm looking at that just mm-hmm. to be able to watch local, because Fubo is canceling
it. Yeah.
Right before the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe I want to watch the Super Bowl. So I'm looking for antenna. Oh, I've got it on my list to look for antenna options.
Mine would probably be slightly better if it weren't in the attic and was actually outside.
Yeah.
But for where it's at, we can get Comet, we can get Charge, we can get WLB, we can get Channel 31. I think there's about five or six channels that actually come in good that it finds a bunch of them, but the signal level is so borderline.
Yeah, and it's digital, so it's either going to work or it's not.
Yeah. And I've got a booster. I bought a booster and put on it too. Originally, I was going to put it like on the end of this building right here outside. And then we got to thinking about it and said, well, the highest point without actually being on top of the house is in the attic. So we've literally got it mounted upside down and we pointed it. We looked at the map where all the TV stations are, where their towers are.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of put it in the direction that would give us the most of what we wanted to watch. And it would kind of get, technically, I'd probably need to have two and put like a combiner. So I could point one in one way, one in the other. They're not like directionals. They're not like beams.
But there's a general.
Range
that you're aiming for.
They're shaped like this.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got like a T.
For our listeners, Donovan was just making a bunch of strange circles. And circular hand gestures.
Yep. Crop circles. So Samsung TV Plus, have that on the Samsung TV in our bedroom. I don't use it, but it's there.
Well, maybe you can watch some Adam's Family tonight.
Hey, I know. LG channels. So yeah, there's, and I'm looking at that going, for me, I could probably get by with, because there have been days, I haven't done it this year, of course. I mean, we're only the eighth day in, but there are many times last year I'd pull up Pluto TV and just have the Stargate channel playing just in the background.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I can.
I think there's an app on my Apple TV called Crackle.
Yes. And that is.
That seems like another, was a Crunch sort of thing.
I think one of those is anime, I think. Crackle.
I've opened it once.
Service.
And I can't remember.
Crackle was a free ad-supported streaming service offering a diverse selection of movies, TV shows, and original content. Established in 2004 as Grouper, it was acquired by Sony Pictures in 2006, rebranded as Crackle in 2007. In 2019, Sony sold a majority stake to Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment, which assumed full ownership in 2020. In 2024, Chicken Soup for the Soul Entertainment faced significant financial challenges. That's right. Reporting substantial losses, ultimately filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in June. This development led to the shutdown of Crackle, along with other streaming services under its umbrella, such as Redbox and Popcorn Flicks.
So you're saying I haven't opened my Crackle app on my Apple TV for over 5 years?
Well, it was 2024.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And that's right, because all the Redboxes got shut down.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the DVD rentals?
Started? Yeah.
The little kiosks?
Yep.
We finally get one near us, and I just never go.
Yeah, they've been gone for a few months now. There's videos on YouTube of people decommissioning the things, and there's a lot of DIYers that want to get their hands on them and do stuff with them. And
there's got to be some interesting electronics and motorized.
Of course, the guys that are paid to go pick them up and what have you are having to contend with people going, hey, let me have that. Mm. Put it on my truck.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I guess that's going to wrap it up. I tried not to hit us too heavy starting out the year. Brand new year.
Well, I figured since we were a week off, we would have more, but.
Oh, I had more.
Keep it relevant.
Well, that's the thing. I email my, every time I come across something, I email to the South Geek mm-hmm. email address. And then as I start building the show notes, I'll pull those in and I'll do the summaries and all of that. But there comes a time, especially if we have to wait, I start looking and go, well, that happened 3 weeks ago. That's not relevant. Yeah. So I take that out. And then some of it is still evergreen. It's like, okay, well, you can still talk about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Practically anything, AI.
Like Blu-ray players.
Yeah. Blu-ray, AI, mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. So, all right. So that means we will be back. Where's my calendar? Let me see. My calendar.
I can't believe you carry a calendar everywhere.
It's called a phone.
That also makes phone calls?
I know.
I thought it was just a camera.
I'm telling you. The 22nd, January 22nd should be the next one. You don't have any prior commitments, do you?
Nope. I have a massage the day after.
Well, that's notable.
I only know because it's the only thing on my calendar.
That's notable. You got anything going on the 22nd? Nope, but I got a massage on the 23rd.
At noon.
Wow. That is hilarious. I don't know why that just tickled me.
They're booked until then.
Damn. They're like doctor's offices.
I would have gotten
offices.
One this week, but they're booked until then.
Oh, God, that is hilarious.
Is that, I'm probably not the only one who drove that much.
Oh, yeah, man. See, that's the reason why my vehicles are going to last longer, because I don't go anywhere.
We beat the shit out of ours, and that's why I had to get a new one.
There you go. Well, our oldest one is 22 years old. Yeah, 22 years old. That's the Explorer. My car is 12 years old, and I'm doing everything I can to not have to buy another one before I die. But I don't know if that's going to be.
You're going to be pushing it.
I know. I'm going to be pushing it. It's recommended that the last vehicle you buy, don't buy before you're 60, because that will probably be the last vehicle you buy.
My dad bought his truck before he turned 60.
So basically, you turn 60, you buy a brand new vehicle. If you have to pay for it for 5 or 7 years or whatever, and by the time it's paid off, you're probably going to die in another 10 years anyway. So,
yeah.
I really bring the sparkle to the show. I know. You're going to really die in another 10 years.
You're really keeping the vibe.
I know. We need to go. So, this is the end of the actual podcast, because you miss all the other stuff. If you don't actually, or you are not a member at $5 per month. So all you got to do is go sign up and be a member, and you'll get the SGN After Dark episodes. Sometimes they're short. Sometimes this one's going to be fairly long. There's a lot to cut out of them, of the show to turn into the After Dark. But it was good, good conversation and good content. At least I think so. So if you have any questions or comments, you can email podcast@southgeeknews.com, or you can call and leave a voicemail, or you can send a text. And that text number is 229-234-1307. Again, that's 229-234-1307. When you call and leave a voicemail, say which show it's for, because that is a line that's used for multiple shows. Same thing for the text. Anyway, until next time, we plan on recording the next episode on the 22nd, because Ben's got a massage on the 23rd. Anyway, until next time, we'll see you guys later. This has been a production of Tifton Media Works. Check out all our podcasts by visiting TiftonMediaWorks.com.